Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, I have a question about podcasting.
Okay, sure, Mike. I'll do my best.
What do you do when an episode is unraveling?
Oh, in that situation, always take the righteous path.
All right, Patrick, this is day two of our interview with Drive-By Truckers, specifically Patterson Hood and Mike Cooley, and this was a setup by our friend Mike Snyder. Hello, Mike.
Hi, guys. It's good to see you.
All right. Good to see you here on Zoom. Now, I got to check my calendar here, but this episode is going to run. Oh, yeah. By the time these interview episodes are on, we will have already known what happened in the big Patrick versus Mike clash on the football field, right? So you guys, I'm just going to tell the listeners here that I'm talking with fans of the two respective teams that were in the Super Bowl that you just saw. And, you know,
one of us is heartbroken, obviously, right?
That's right. Yeah. One of us is sad.
Yeah.
And one of us is glad.
One of us is very glad. Yes.
So we just don't know who right now, but
we don't. But yeah. Man, how about those quarterbacks?
Yeah. So take up. Okay, but now we got to get back to this interview. Drive-By Truckers. We talked with Patterson Hood. He's out in Portland now. He lives out in Portland, Oregon, and Mike Cooley, who's in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And our show is Rockin' the Suburbs, and I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster,
and I'm Mike Snyder.
I mentioned Mike here, and if you did not listen to part one of the interview, then go back. That was yesterday. Go back and listen to that. It's fitting that we, you know, got to talk with them, you know, from their two homes and over Zoom, the marvels of technology these days, because, you know, like everybody, every working musician, they haven't been able to tour at all. And they talk a little bit about that in this portion of the interview as well. And, and then this leads me, Mike, to the fact that this was like the last concert we saw before the pandemic and the lockdowns and all that kind of stuff was we saw you and I Drive-By Truckers at the 9:30 Club last February, right? A year ago this month.
Yeah, they did two nights there, and we went to, I think, the first night. Maybe the
I think that's
night.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it was – I try to see them every time I can, and it was a great show. I mean, they had such a mix of what they did. And we learned something. I think it's in this episode, or maybe it's in the last one. I forget where they talk about how they don't really always know what they're going to play.
That's right. Yeah. You know, yeah. Amazing. Just wait till you hear that. I did not know that about this band. Did you know that?
I didn't either.
Okay. No. So learn something new. All right. Well, then let's just dive right in. Okay. Ready to go?
Let's do it.
The parking lot behind Oasis Town, down the street from the Mexican restaurant behind the AutoZone, and the place is hawking payday loans. There's a Kmart and a KFC, a fitness center and an Applebee's, Wells Fargo and a Taco John's, a good time bar to get your bad swerve on. In a town that's named for razor blades, all American but Chinese made, folks working hard for shrinking pay, 21st century USA.
So you mentioned not being able to tour, obviously.
Yeah, I'm going to be pissed about that for a long time.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to my grave pissed about that. I'm going to go to my grave pissed about not being able to tour as Levon Helm went to his grave pissed about anything Robbie Robertson ever did. This 2020 was my Robbie Roberts.
I'm with him.
Well, you're kind of answering the question before I even ask it here, Mike, but I was wondering is for a band that's used to touring all the time, or for musicians used to touring all the time, what have you learned about yourselves by being at home for months on end?
That I like touring.
Yeah, that I'm as much of an asshole as I thought I was before I left the house in the first place.
That's what my family tells me every day.
Yeah.
Well, you guys had done you'd done a series of live stream shows, and I think you're taking a break from that now. Are you going to do any more of those before you?
If we have to,
probably.
What are those like?
Lonely, boring, awkward, shitty, stressful, angst-ridden.
Cooley, the marketing major. He's going to reach out to people and get them to tune in, man. You're going to hate this.
That's so inviting.
No, I am. You're going to love it. Come watch me be uncomfortable for 90 minutes.
Well, I think I probably understand what you're saying, but talk a bit about why it's so uncomfortable. It's because it's just you and nobody, no feedback or what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's me in this room, you know? It's like, it's not fun. It's not fun. I tried to find things to do to try to compensate. But, I mean, so much of what we do as a band is an interaction with the audience, mm-hmm. too. You know?
And each other. Yeah, each other.
I miss my band. I mean, God, I miss my band even more than I miss the audience. I mean, I miss.
And I may miss the crew more than I miss the band.
Of course.
That's great.
They're a lot nicer to us.
They do a lot more for me.
Where's my crew? Yeah, totally.
Oh, I miss restaurants. Man, I miss restaurants.
Oh, my God. Restaurants
almost as much as I miss my crew and the rock show. And all my favorite restaurants here in Portland have all closed. All but one of my top five are gone now. Man, and my favorite just closed about 2 weeks ago, and I'm just heartbroken.
Oh, man.
That's terrible.
I'm so sick of my cooking. God, I'm so sick of my cooking.
Are you getting any better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've gotten
me too.
Good.
I'm actually getting a lot better.
What's your specialty? Like, what would you make if we came over to your house?
Oh, man. I mean, I make a mean roast. I make a mean chicken. I'm doing a chicken stew right now. I like my stews, you know. My spaghetti. My kids love my spaghetti. Mm. My son loves my sloppy joes. Ooh. And, you know, I got nothing's healthy. I mean, I'm definitely slowly killing myself with cholesterol and grease. But
are you on Uber Eats, man? Can I get a takeout? Sloppy Joe's? I haven't had a sloppy Joe with onion rings in
sounds
years.
Sounds good. Yeah,
I'll make a mean sloppy Joe.
Hey, so speaking of the show that Mike and I were at, okay, what was that? February of?
It's like 20. We went to the 28th show. Yeah,
February of last year.
Yeah.
At 9:30 Club.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And had a great time. And one of the songs that you played in that set, which is also on your latest album, was the cover, KKK Took My Baby Away, right?
Right.
And so I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who's a Super Ramones fan just today. And we were sort of talking about that song and maybe what it meant from the Ramones perspective and how that context shifts, you know, when played by a southern rock band, right? So I want to ask you guys, what did you think of that song the first time you ever heard it?
I loved it. I always loved that song. I love every Ramones. Hey. There's no Ramones song I don't love, but that's one of my favorites.
It was the greatest Lynyrd Skynyrd song Lynyrd Skynyrd never put on a record. You know? it's what was missing. it's what was missing in southern rock.
When you guys get to play again for a crowd, actually not even for a crowd, when you get together as a band to prepare, what's the first song you play?
Shit, I don't care, whatever. I don't know, you know, we never do a set list. We never like the longest conversation of the day is at some point in time Cole, our tour manager, keeps coming and goes, "Okay, guys, what's the first song?" So that he can let the crew know.
Yeah. I have no idea why it matters.
You know, where to set the levels, where to set the lights. And then from then on, it's all, I mean, there is no set list. It's all boom, 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 back and
that's
forth.
That's amazing.
B&I. And I miss that. God, I miss that. You know, it's like, because, you know, some nights we can try to stump each other a little bit too.
Right.
We never know what that crazy fucker is going to pull out. You know? I miss that.
And it depends on the vibe of the crowd and all that too, right?
Yeah.
What kind of room it is. Yeah,
it totally. It does. It's you know, you've you decide when to play the slow song based on when you think they're ready for it, you know? And other than that, there's absolutely nothing. You just decide to play the slow song when you think they're ready for it. And the rest of the time, you just play the fast ones.
Well, you did. I went back to look at the set list from the night we saw you guys back in February. But it's such a great mix, you know, of new and slightly older. Then you go back and then you pull out the Zevon song and everything. It's just
that was going to be a really good tour. I mean, 2020 was going to be really, really good tour. The band was just firing on all cylinders. The 3 weeks we actually played were some of my favorite shows we ever played. We were just and we were playing a lot of our favorite rooms coming up and touring with cool other artists. And
it really couldn't have been a worse time to just say, hey, man, you know what? Fuck you. You and everything you ever dreamed of, you and how you were going to end these last, possibly the last worth of shit years of your life you're ever going to experience. Fuck you. That's where we're going. That's welcome to February 2020. Fuck you. Your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations, your wants, your loves, your desires, they're trash.
How big was that tour? Were you gone all year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And into this year, I'm sure.
Still be going now, right? Yeah.
Fuck yeah, it would be. We'd probably have to go back to Europe by now. Maybe third time in Europe by now, because the new records have done pretty well over there. We've actually gone further towards breaking Europe in the last 5 or 6 years than we've ever had in the history of our band.
What's your relationship like with Jason Isbell since he left the band? I mean, I know you guys do stuff together and all that, but I think listeners would like to know, like, you know, how do you guys get on?
We're close. I consider him like a brother, you know. He's close, you know. We went through a rough time and you know, it but even then I never didn't love him. I mean, you know, we loved each other. It was just a bad time. We had to come out the other end. But that was a long time ago now. I mean, shit, he's been sober. I think I read the other day, 9 years. I think it's coming up on 9 years that he's been sober and been, you know, just, you know, the things he had to do in order to pull that off made all the difference in the world. I mean, you know, it's always the bum rap saying that our breakup was because of drinking. I feel like the drinking was because of the same things that caused our breakup were the same things causing him to drink in the way that he did. I mean, hell, we were all drunk back then. It wasn't that he was drunker than me or that guy. Good God. You know, he had some demons that he had to figure out how to come to terms with or get a grip on or whatever you have to do with those kind of demons. And in figuring that out, he grew to become the kind of amazing human being and artist that he has grown to become, that he's always had the potential to be. And so I couldn't be prouder of him. And you know, we've been really close during the pandemic because we text all the time back and forth, you know, making each other laugh. And that's awesome.
Thanks very much. I know you guys have lots to do. So
am I still talking?
Yeah, I'm gonna go chicken stew.
Yeah.
Well, really appreciate it. It's been good to chat with you guys for a while.
Yeah,
hopefully we'll see you live.
Hey, Stroker, good seeing you, brother.
Yeah, you too. We should do this. You know, it's like, you know, let's do.
I'm here. I'm open online. We all have a good one.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks, guys.
Later, guys.
Thank you, guys. Means a lot.
Look at your children and you hope and pray they can conjure up a better day. No one remembers how it got that way. Century USA. 21st century USA.
Okay, our thanks again to Patterson Hood, Mike Cooley, the Drive-By Truckers, one of our favorite bands, I think, for a long time. And check out their two latest works, The Unraveling and The New Okay. I think they are a couple of albums that I think should hold up as reflections of our times, I think, mm-hmm. the way they approach us. And it was music, I think, like I said, that they didn't necessarily set out to do, but they had to get it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you haven't listened to, if you have listened to those, but you haven't listened to the 2016 album, American Band,
yeah.
that kind of gives you a hint of where they're going with this, and I would recommend that, because it still stands up, too.
Yeah, it's kind of an amazing three-album run that they've been on here, for sure.
Without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of live stuff on Bandcamp. The shows that Jim and I went to are both on, or the show we went to and the other show the next day are both on Bandcamp if you want to get it. And there's also a concert with Mike Cooley, Patterson Hood, and Jason Isbell where they did solo stuff together that's on Bandcamp. So if you're looking for new music, this might be a plant of seed for you.
Yeah. Patrick, I want to ask you about this too, because one of the things that we talked about Patterson a little bit that you didn't hear in this interview is about his father. And
that's right.
His connection to Muscle Shoals, and he also, you guys were sort of talking a little bit about, can we get him on the podcast in the future? So I think we're going to follow up on that request, right, Patrick? So so tell listeners a little bit, if they don't know, about Patterson Hood's family background, right?
Yeah, so his dad, David, is a bass player and came up in, the Alabama area, Sheffield area around Muscle Shoals, and started playing in bands there as a teenager, and he was one of the first call guys at Fame Studios, that Rick Hall would use, and also helped found Muscle Shoals Sound Studio, which is a pretty famous studio. But he's also been bass player extraordinaire, like a sideman for, gosh, man, we're talking about, going on 50 years now, and you look at the stuff he played on, and it's like kind of stunning. Played on basically every great Bob Seger album that there is, from the 70s through the 80s, like in his classic period. He played with Rod Stewart, he played with Boz Scaggs, Glenn Frey. I mean, just the list goes on and on. Like, anybody who kind of made an album that wanted to have a funky American bottom end bass sound to it, and a guy who was just a studio consummate professional, that's David. And most interesting recently, I was just looking here, one of the most recent things he did is he recorded an album with the Waterboys, and then he went on tour with them. So he's in his 70s now, going on 80, and he's out there jamming with the Waterboys, which is kind of amazing. But it would be incredible to have a chance to talk to David, and man, I'm sure he's got some of the anecdotes of all time. And Patterson said he's doing well, and he's gotten his vaccine part one already, and is looking forward to getting back on the road, just like the DBT. So
absolutely. So that's great. Okay, thanks again, Mike, for setting this up.
Thanks, Mike.
It was my pleasure.
Yep.
And if anyone else would like to know about ways to become a Rock in the Suburbs patron, you go to patreon.com/suburbspod. And if anyone would like to comment on Drive-By Truckers, Jason Isbell, what have you, we can address that in an upcoming episode. And the way you can do that is call and leave a message, 612-440-1984. Yep. Or you can email rock@suburbspod.com, or hit us up on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram at suburbspod. All right. All right, let's get out of here, guys. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Mike Schneider.
Talk to y'all later.
as a native son of the former Confederacy, United is way overrated. you don't unite with that. You squash it. You're in an abusive relationship. You're dealing with somebody who only understands power and pain. You take their power from them, and you make sure getting any of it back is as painful as you can possibly make it. Mm. That's how you deal with this.
Can you guys adopt me? Because it's really making a lot of sense.